her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we sit and count. Our chair is stacked just like a mountain. You heard about it, she running her mouth. She
was this a complicated Super Bowl for the Green Bay Packers fans?
Cool as ever, she's too excited. Her
on one hand, you have the Chiefs, who were going for the old three-peat. I'm sure you heard a little bit about that in the weeks leading up to the Super Bowl, the Chiefs three-peating, making history. Of course, Packers fans were like, excuse me, did we forget that the Packers also won three championships in a row, 65 Super Bowl I and II? I do love that on the broadcast last night, they did mention that. At the end of the broadcast, they were like, and then you have the Packers. They're like, yeah, we've been trying to remind people of that. So you got the Chiefs trying to dethrone the Packers for winning three in a row. And on the other side, you got the Eagles, who smacked the Packers around twice. First game of the season in Brazil, and then, of course, in the playoffs. Was this complicated for you at all, Gabe, as a Packers fan?
No. I don't care about either team. So just, you know, if you have a rooting interest or, you know, I know that you
and Joshy
created several, from my understanding, at Potawatomi yesterday as part of the, you know, weekly wager special show you guys did out there yesterday. I know Joshy was heavily invested in both teams, on outcomes on both sides. So, you know, that's an easy way now with Potawatomi having the sports book to give yourself a rooting interest.
How did the day go for you yesterday? There it is. That's how the day went for Joshy yesterday. I will share in your cha-ching. I had a very successful day.
I got a text from Joshy saying he's rich now.
I'm rich.
Not actually rich, but I turned $5 into $200 on a
richer
40-1.
Than you were the
sure
day
was.
Before.
You got it.
Richer than you were when the game started. Eagles do win in commanding fashion, in dominating fashion, actually, which I think surprised a lot of people, considering the Chiefs have been the class of the league for the last few years. And we all felt that, you know, when they wanted to, they could flip a switch proverbially, and they could show everybody, you know, why they have represented the AFC and why they have been in the Super Bowl and why they have won several in a row. But Chew, man, that is not how this shook out yesterday. How did the Eagles figure out the Chiefs? How did they win this game?
It's as simple as they have better players. Their players are better. Look at what a D-line does when you can just sit there and rush four all day long and drop seven. Makes life pretty easy.
It's literally all they did, Chew. they didn't blitz
but
once.
But when people like, how did this happen, which I called, said it would happen like this.
Wait, what?
I said they were going to win by two scores. Crickets?
I don't
recall. How did you guys win? Okay, all right, question. How did you guys win money when I was the only one that picked the Eagles, the three of you picked the Chiefs?
What?
It's just...
I mean, I know I picked the Chiefs. I don't know if Jen and Chew or Jen and Josh ever picked the
Chiefs.
I got a bet slip in my pocket that says I did not pick the Chiefs. Yeah. I went Eagles money line.
Also,
not even Eagles spread.
It's player props. I picked them to win the game, but I also picked on the guys. Saquon Barkley under rushing yards, nailed it. Saquon Barkley, longest rush under, nailed it. Xavier Worthy, most receiving yards. Nailed it.
So let's talk about that for a moment, because that was a big conversation headed into the game.
You got any more?
Yeah.
You want to brag?
Jalen Hurts, longest rush of the game. Nailed it.
He did. He was telling
us. Dallas Goedert, under receiving yards. Nailed it.
Wait, but just for funsies, since we're here, Ben Brust on the Weekly Wager said, hammer the under. Man, every time I pushed back on him about the over-under, which I believe landed at 48.5, I was like, I don't know, guys. This is an explosive Eagles offense. They put up 55 against the Commanders. I understand it's the Commanders. I said, if they even do what they've done all season long, averaging 28 points per game, I think they go over 30. And if the Chiefs have a couple of scores, you're right there, 48.5. And then sure enough, they almost do it all by themselves. The Eagles almost hit the over all by themselves. And so you know that I was real comforting to Ben Brust in the old Weekly Wager text chain last night, because obviously the under did not hit.
Did you bet the over?
No. I didn't fade him on that one.
Okay.
I did, though. He did Tails Never Fails.
Yeah, and it didn't.
It didn't fail. It hit, so good for him. I only bet $10 on the coin flip. I bet a lot more money on some of the things that did hit, and we can talk about those as the show goes on. But what I want to talk about is the game plan of the Chiefs seemed to be shut down Saquon. And the cool thing about being a team in the Super Bowl and representing the NFC is you got other weapons, Gabe. Like, they were able to win because they do have explosive weapons, because they do have a good receiving core, but mostly it was the way that that defense shut down Patrick Mahomes.
100% the defense, because, I mean, there were times where Mahomes didn't even feel like he was getting pressured all that much, but because he had been pressured earlier, feet got a little happy. Started feeling the pressure that wasn't actually there. Maybe ducked out of a couple of pockets early. And look, there was, I mean, over 50% of the time he was getting pressured, so it's easy to see how that would happen. But, I mean, this is what we've seen against some of these dominant teams. You know, when you think of why the Giants beat the Patriots twice. Yeah, those plays that Eli made at the end of the game were nice, but it was because they had four guys that they knew, hey, if we just rush these four, we can frustrate Tom Brady, we can limit that offense. And that's exactly what the Eagles did yesterday. They've got a very talented defense, they've got difference makers at every level, and they didn't have to bring pressure at all. And the Chiefs' offensive line just folded trying to block the four that they had to block.
Where in the world is GetUp shooting this show from? It looks like a...
on the set of Anchorman.
Meet the Press. Yeah, it looks like the set of Anchorman. Chew, you got GetUp on wherever you are?
I do not. I have a buffering computer, and I'm at 14%, Joshy, so we're going to get there before the end of the show.
Oh, maybe. We look forward to seeing your beautiful face.
And then they shut down Kelsey. Like I thought they would. Kelsey did do four catches, 39 yards.
Yeah, he wasn't really a part of the game plan either.
This was a horrible. I mean, it was. Did you guys feel it was over at halftime?
Yes.
Done.
Yeah.
No. Because I feel like the Chiefs are one of those offenses that if they make a few tweaks, if Andy and company can just make some adjustments, they're capable of putting up a boatload of points real quickly.
Yeah.
As we saw on that one touchdown where he was scrambling and then just like heaved it up there and Xavier Worthy is falling to the ground and it's just like clunk.
But also like I felt it was over because they, if they had a better plan, like pass rush, like there are plans for it, right? Like there's pretty default plans for, oh, they're getting pressure with four. Let's do this. Let's try this. And nothing they did throughout the first half ever worked. So it didn't seem like they were ever going to come up with a plan to be able to slow down that front four, which is why I thought it was over.
So here's what I want to do. I want to talk about the Packers and them relative to the Eagles. Because when the Packers and Eagles played, it was 22-10. And so it wasn't a great offensive showing by any means by the green and gold. But did feel like they played them a lot closer, certainly, than the Chiefs did yesterday. I'm not saying the Packers are as good as the Chiefs. Don't mishear me. Don't misinterpret what I'm saying. But did seeing the Eagles' performance yesterday give you more confidence about the Packers, Chew? Do you feel like they are closer than it seemed?
No. I want to say not close, but it's not close. I mean, the Eagles' defense is... They held the Chiefs, I mean, Patrick Mahomes, to 275 yards. That's a horrible game. You know, the time of possession was so far out of whack, 23-36. That's just a dominance. This game was more about defense because even Philadelphia only put up 345 yards. The benchmark when I played, I don't even know what it is now, it's probably 375, but when I played, 350 was a good game.
Yeah,
Having
a pick six and another interception inside the 10 certainly helped those overall scoring numbers for the Eagles. But I don't feel like, yeah, cool, you played. I mean, are we going to hang the banner? Oh, Packers played the Eagles close. They did it twice. Like, it doesn't make me feel any better. It doesn't, because when you watch that game, like, in order to have a chance, I think the Packers need to have a better defensive line. And they just don't have. Because even the Chiefs, like the Chiefs' defense played decent enough and they were able to shut down Saquon Barkley and able to hone in and make that a big part of their focus. Yes, it left them susceptible to other things because the Eagles are that good. But in terms of the Packers, I mean, the biggest plays of the game were made by the secondary and a cornerback in Cooper DeJean and the pass rush all day. The Packers, those are the two things that's the biggest need that we've talked about ever since the season ended. They need to get better at the pass rush. They need to figure out what the heck's going on at cornerback. So I don't feel like, as we sit here, now, can that change throughout the course of this offseason? Of course. But yeah, we know what they have to address.
Okay, so I'm glad that you say that
forward,
because that's exactly my reaction to what you were saying, which is, if nothing else, it became more of a spotlight. It became more of a hello. You see what teams that have competent units at these positions can do. You're only a few pieces away. Make it happen, Brian Gutekunst and company. That's where I am. It was more of like, you're a good team, Packers, which we have said, just in case anybody wants to do revisionist history here, we have said from the jump, they're a good team, but they are a few pieces away. And for me, watching the Eagles yesterday was like, we have been right on, we the collective Packers fans, about the positions they must address this offseason in order to close that gap between themselves and the Eagles, who are now the Super Bowl champs. So to me, it was like, we are giving you the answers to the test, Brian Gutekunst. You saw it play out on Sunday night in New Orleans. This is what you must do. Go do it. Go beef up that defensive line. Go out and get a dynamic playmaker at corner. And again, it is tough for people to watch Cooper DeJean. I know that the way that the draft board shook out, it really wasn't realistic for the Packers to get him unless they moved up. But Packers fans were clamoring in the weeks leading up to the draft last year that Cooper DeJean was the guy. He was a difference maker.
Could have taken him in the first round.
Oh, yeah. I think if you redrafted now, if you redrafted after 1 year, he's probably top 15, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's a hell of a player. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they screwed up. They screwed up.
And so did all 30 other teams. So, like, he was a second-round pick. We all thought he should have been a first, but they were all – everyone was wrong, aside from the – guy who took Jaden Daniels. Like, other than that, you're probably like, yeah, you could have taken Cooper DeJean there.
Well,
and it would have made
sense. The GM of the Giants' son who told him to take Jaden Daniels, I suppose we could say he was also right.
Yeah.
But they're at least three, and I'm not saying three players, they're three studs away. Right?
Ooh, three studs feels like a lot.
I think it's two different makers. I think
Hold on. They're an offensive stud away from being a really good offense, aren't
they?
Wide
receiver.
Mm-hmm.
D-line. That's, you
edge
know.
Rusher.
I feel like if you get an edge rusher, the cornerback position automatically improves.
Yes. It'd be fine. It would be good enough. Mm-hmm.
But I still think you need to address it. Maybe it's in the draft.
Young,
you get lucky and you land on somebody like a Quinyon Mitchell or like a Cooper DeJean. So I think what we're saying, and maybe we're all in agreement, is you saw the blueprint. You saw, and of course, the lauding and the complimenting and the flowers for Howie Roseman has not stopped, will not stop for the way he has drafted. Brian Gutekunst has drafted similarly in that he also goes after defensive players who played at the University of Georgia for Kirby Smart. So I'm hopeful that last night was sort of a wake-up call highlighting here are the reasons why the Eagles won. Had a hell of a pass rush. Right, we're able to get pressure on Patrick Mahomes, who is one of the most evasive quarterbacks in the league, and it still stymied him. It still gave him fits. And again, they had guys on the back end making plays. I mean, PBUs, interceptions, you had guys who were out there hustling to the ball and making plays on the ball game.
Yeah, the Eagles had the best roster in all of football this year. And they had the healthiest roster of all in all. Like, I think that's really important to point out, because I think the Lions could have given them a run for the money had the Lions stayed as healthy as the Eagles did.
Would the Lions roster be better
if Lions were healthy? Really close.
If they were
really close, Chew.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I mean, I don't know. That defense is stacked beyond belief.
But
those wide receivers.
So is the Lions defense when it's healthy.
I don't think so. I don't think you are
the best. The best player of both defenses.
It's Jalen Carter.
Is Aiden Hutchinson?
No,
I'm taking Jalen Hutchinson.
And their edges, like, both are very good. They're three deep there. You got a guy who played at like William and Mary making impact plays.
Yeah. What's wrong with William and Mary?
It's just not typically where you get studs from.
Hey. Who was the quarterback?
Wait, Tim, what is your deal with William and Mary? Just because it's like a East Coast.
Did you hear him? Yeah.
Yeah, you don't usually get impact defensive rushers who were track athletes.
I'm just
there.
Surprised you came to their defense. Like, I'm trying to figure out if there's like a, you got a relative who is going to William & Mary. You got some reason to,
you know,
vouch
what?
For them.
Well, I was thinking Dartmouth, because they're kind of the same school in Dartmouth as in New Hampshire.
Dartmouth would be very,
I was just,
very angry
I was staying,
about that.
I was
just
staying
so
New England loyal.
Maybe you've heard of the Ivy League. I don't know.
What just happened?
I didn't think I'd died off track of that bad. Just giving Jalix Hunt some love.
That's on you. Should have known better. Oh, my.
Yeah, I don't feel great, if that's what you're asking, Jen. That, to me, the game was depressing because I think it's going to push it back one more year.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. And you know who's agreeing with me? Vegas.
Yeah, okay.
Vegas.
You know.
Two and Vegas have a very interesting relationship. When it serves his argument,
yes.
Serves his purpose, he's very quick to use them as an ally. Most of the time, he just makes fun of us for our relationship.
Also, it
Vegas.
Doesn't agree with him the way he thinks it does.
All right, so explain what Chewy is saying.
Dave,
about
you got
Vegas
the numbers in front of you.
Agreeing with him that the Packers are further away after watching yesterday's game.
So the Packers plus 2,400 to win the Super Bowl. Chiefs are number one. Bills, Eagles, and Ravens right behind them. Lions, Niners, Commanders all ahead of the Packers.
Chiefs are number one based on what?
Yeah.
Going to the Super Bowl the last 3 years.
You got the break speed off of them yesterday, though.
So? It happens every once in a while. Happens to teams.
Is Kelsey going
to
retire?
No. He said he's coming back already.
He did?
He said that before the game.
No. Yesterday, the latest was that he was still on the fence.
My guess is he's going to be coming back. Look, they go to the AFC Championship game every year. Like, them not being in the top four of odds would just be reckless by Vegas books. They haven't missed an AFC Championship game.
A friend told us yesterday, the VP of Digital Gaming, was like, yeah, the Eagles are heavily invested in, but we have a ton of Chiefs futures because people just keep betting on them, and they keep getting them in the Super Bowl. It's just how it goes.
So yesterday, people were putting bets on the Chiefs to be back in the Super Bowl next year before the game even kicked off.
Right, and it's important to remember that the Chiefs' dominance is important because the Eagles and the Lions, everyone would view as so competitive. So they have a harder path there to get through it. The Chiefs just mow down whoever you put in front of them and end up in the Super Bowl. It's just how it goes. It's technically they're saying the NFC is more competitive and more tightly packed than the AFC is.
I mean, the Bills played them pretty tough. Every time they play them.
And guess what they do every time?
How many times do they win?
Yeah. I've seen Groundhog Day. I know how this goes. Might as well drop a toaster in the bathtub.
We're just doing past results here.
We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Still a lot of stuff to get to. Not sure if you saw the Aaron Rodgers news yesterday. We will react to that. And more importantly, how that affects the Packers' chances of getting Devontae Adams. That's coming up on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Stick around.
Guys, I'm telling you, if you're making plans to propose to that special someone in your life, the Jewelry Center, the only place to go for the ring. They're the best place to shop for diamond engagement rings in Milwaukee for a reason. It's what I did. It's the only place you need to go because the helpful team always going to point you in the right direction. Whether you're looking for a naturally mined diamond, lab-grown diamonds, whatever you're in the market for, when it comes to an engagement ring, the Jewelry Center has it. And if you don't have an idea, you're kind of, I'm not quite sure what this ring should look like. Hey, check out her Pinterest board. If she has something there, bring it in. The helpful team at the Jewelry Center is always going to point you in the right direction. Check out their inventory at any one of the three locations, Greenfield, Brookfield, or in Burlington. Shop online at shoptjc.com. And anytime you head to the Jewelry Center, you make sure you tell them that Gabe and Chew sent you.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
And guess who didn't hit the hole? Zeke Elliott.
Ashton.
Well, I mean, yes. Yeah, right back there?
That's so true.
It was a direct shot. She took out the sniper rifle and just...
She got right up to me, took out a Glock and just shot.
Yeah, right in the balls.
On 94.5 ESPN.
After the Super Bowl is always weird. For people like us who exist primarily in the sports space, it's the end of football. Football just ended. We have been tracking and talking and doing all of the football things since it feels like forever, Gabe. And today we wake up and the last football game has been played, which means that baseball is right around the corner, which means the pitchers and catchers report very soon. I asked you when it is, and you told me what?
Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Oh, my goodness.
Thank you. I appreciate you having the same reaction, Chewy, that I had, which was Wednesday as in 2 days?
Yeah, 2 days. Yeah, not next week Wednesday, not the Wednesday after that. This upcoming Wednesday, yes, February 12th.
All right, well.
Pitchers and catchers report.
P's and C's.
Here we go. P's and C's out to Arizona. We just got a post from the Milwaukee Brewers, and if you want to get in your feels this morning, they have released a photograph of the patch that the players will be wearing this year in honor of Bob Uecker, and it's a good one. It's got the plaid of his famous jackets, calling Major League and all the things obviously synonymous with Bob Uecker. It's got the baseball in the middle with the wheat as the stitchings, and then it has his signature in the middle. It is beautiful, and it is a obviously well-deserved memorial for Bob Uecker, who will not be with the team when pitchers and catchers report in just a few days. Another story that popped yesterday, Chew, was the future of Aaron Rodgers. Scoopage, I believe, is what Jay Glazer called it. We had a good laugh about that on the Weekly Wager. You like the word scoopage, Gabe?
Yeah, I like it.
You do?
Yeah, I'll dive into it. Yeah, why
Gosh-y.
Not? What's wrong with scoopage?
I don't know.
What's wrong with it? You had a little scoop.
You got a scoop? You ever had a scoop, too? You just told me a scoop, not to leak anything.
Okay, what are we doing?
I'm more of a ski instead of a itch.
Now it sounds like you're doing drugs.
Because he's Polish? What's happening here?
A scoop ski? All right, I like scoopski better.
All right, well, Jay Glazer said he had some scoopage yesterday about Aaron Rodgers, and it was basically that Aaron Rodgers is not wanted by the New York Jets. I don't know that that was scoopage. I think that people sort of maybe saw that coming. Nonetheless, Aaron Rodgers will not be a member of the Jets. Joshy, have they announced how they're going to do that yet? Aren't there some distinctions with when they officially release him?
Yeah, it's just a separation of like a June 1st cut or not. It's just basically how the money gets arranged and how much they can save on the cap. But as we've seen in the past, players will have their destination done before they're even reached their like cut date. So like we could know where he is before.
Josh, that's illegal.
Don't you feign shock.
We could know where he's landing before he officially even gets cut.
Okay, Chew, do you see him landing anywhere? What's the market for Aaron Rodgers right now?
Slim. I mean, he's going to want to go somewhere relevant, and I don't see anyone relevant wanting him.
Pittsburgh.
You think they want that?
Pittsburgh
toxicity?
Pittsburgh makes the most sense. They want somebody that they think can push the ball down the field and keep that offense explosive. They don't like either one of the guys that they have. Shockingly, there was a report that Russell Wilson had a falling out with one of his coaches yet again, as him and Arthur Smith weren't seeing eye to eye, who's the offensive coordinator for the Steelers. So I think that the Steelers are just in the spot where they're constantly looking for a new quarterback. Mike Tomlin and Aaron Rodgers seemingly have a good relationship. So the Steelers are the team that make the most sense to me here.
But what does that do for him? Super Bowl contender?
No, it makes him a wild card team just like they were this year.
I was going to say, you just told me how the Chiefs are inevitable in the AFC. Is this a contender? No. I think we all are like, I don't think so.
No, and they won't win their division.
Nope.
What about the Browns?
I don't think he would want to continue his career with the Browns.
Right, because he's going to have some say in it as well. Yes. He's going to have some say in where he lands. This isn't a trade.
Yeah.
They're farther away than the Pittsburgh Steelers, I'd say, for sure.
Yeah, because the Steelers are a playoff team, and the Browns are picking number two in the draft.
Some of the other teams that have been thrown out there potentially as landing spots for Aaron Rodgers, who is no longer wanted by the New York Jets, are the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah.
But wouldn't they just go after one in the draft? Maybe they don't like the draft class quarterbacks?
That's the seemingly the way, because there's only really two that have a first-round grade as of right now.
Titans,
it's seeming that even though the Titans have the number one overall pick, that next year's draft class is probably going to be better for quarterbacks, and they're a long-term rebuild anyway.
So you just stopgap it for the 2025 season?
Correct.
All right, so then the other team, Chew, hold on to your hat.
Minnesota?
Yep.
Yeah. That'd be awesome.
Would it?
Yeah. Watch them crash and burn right in front of our eyes.
Yeah.
I can watch them crash and burn any corner of the United States. I got cable. I got YouTube TV.
Yeah. Is he going to retire?
The report indicated from Jay Glazer that he intends to play.
Well, yes. It was a little bit weird, though, because it was like the fact that he flew across the country to have the conversation with the Jets indicates he would like to continue.
Right. But I think, at some point, are you going to go out like this, Aaron? You're going to go out second in the AFC North or third in the AFC South with the Titans? What's this doing for you right now?
Feeding his ego.
If there is not a team, if the only two teams that are interested are the Browns and Titans, he's retiring.
Yeah.
I would agree. Minnesota's, do you think they want to go?
Depends upon how J.J. McCarthy's rehab is going.
And it depends on how much you believe the stuff you heard from Kevin O'Connell on the red carpet of the NFL Honors about wanting Sam Darnold back. You know, he said all the right things. The coach said all the right things to all of the microphones at the NFL Honors when asked about Sam Darnold's future in Minnesota. But they did draft J.J. McCarthy. So, history repeating itself. Rodgers to the Jets and then the Vikings, just like Favre to the Jets and to the Vikings. Good grief.
Is he better than Darnold? Because Aaron's clearly...
Sam Darnold played so well for the majority of the season. It is such a shame that he clunked his way out of the season. And I'm talking about from him personally.
Yes.
I know people don't want to
cost himself a lot of money.
Yes. I'm talking about him as a guy who had this unbelievable resurgence, who had this unbelievable resurrection, and then all of a sudden just like the wheels fell off right before he entered free agency.
Yeah. If he just plays semi-well in one of those two games.
It's another $50 million on that contract.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen rumors that it's likely he moves on just because he's probably going to get paid more than anyone expects. One of those teams that we've mentioned connected to Aaron Rodgers is most likely going to overpay for a Sam Darnold because they're going to think, hey, he's good enough, we have enough talent here, that sort of thing. We don't know J.J. McCarthy's status right now. I would find it hard to believe that they would invest in Aaron Rodgers with what they have going.
I think the age is really going to mess him up.
Yeah,
it's not like Aaron Rodgers is 35 years old and finds himself in this situation, and you could argue that he has some of his best days still ahead of him. I think Aaron Rodgers' best days are behind him. I don't think that that is a salacious thing to say. I don't think that's a hater comment. I think we have seen the natural regression that occurs as guys get older at this position and others.
And it's funny that it's turning out this way for Aaron, because he swore up and down when he was in his 20s that this was never going to be him.
Yep.
I think the money is more of a problem. Is he going to be able to stomach it making $25 million a year when he's been making, what?
50?
Close to 60?
Is he close to 60?
He was down to like 35-ish, wasn't he?
It was 50 at the end of the tenure with the Packers,
yeah,
right?
And then he took that pay cut to help the Jets get better. If we remember that.
Yes, he did. I've got his contract. So he had 75 guaranteed over 3 years. And some of that, he got a lot of it up front. He's only set to make 23.5 in cash this year. Actually, only 16 mil in cash this year on the contract he currently has.
So let's put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll this morning, specific to Aaron Rodgers. Will Aaron Rodgers find a home in the NFL in 2025? Very simply, yes or no. Do you think Aaron Rodgers will have a team? I don't even want to go so far as to say will be playing. I think there may be hard-pressed. There may be a coach out there who Rodgers has a good enough relationship with that they'd say, we got some young guys in that quarterback room. We could really use someone to mentor them, to help articulate what you see on any down and distance, what you see. And look, I know we're chuckling because it doesn't come naturally, I don't think, to Rodgers to be that guy. But I want to give him credit for what he did with Jordan Love. Right? Jordan has always been effusive in his praise of Rodgers mentoring him in that quarterback room. So that is my long way of saying he may be on a team. I don't want to go as far as to say, will he be starting for a team? Because there may be value for him to be that elder statesman in the room. Sort of like a Flacco.
He's not going to be in the lead and be a backup. He's not going to do that.
He's not doing that.
That ain't happening.
All right, so apparently we have found the limit of Aaron Rodgers' growth potential, gang. We have found the limit of how far he can evolve.
The actual dark horse, I think, in the NFC would be San Francisco. If they decide that they don't want to pay Brock Purdy, and if they, okay, we got to figure out what we want to do here. We're not going to pay Purdy. Do we trade him? What do we do? And there was the flirtation, obviously, there before, where Matt LaFleur thought that there was actual tampering going on. Maybe they decide to give Rodgers a shot in Sanford. That, to me, would be the dark horse in the NFC.
Well, let me ask you this. Why are the 49ers on the odds to win next year's Super Bowl ahead of the Packers? I thought that was weird.
Because they were really beat up. They were really beat up this year. Had to deal with a lot of injuries.
So you should definitely add the oldest quarterback in the league to your roster and see if that helps you find the fountain of youth. We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. I want to roll this into the Devontae angle, right? Because Devontae has been in New York with Rodgers. Packers need a wide receiver. We're trying to read the tea leaves and pick up the breadcrumbs of if Devontae wants to be in Green Bay. It seems like he does. What does the Aaron Rodgers not coming back to New York mean for Devontae Adams? Does it increase the likelihood that there is a reunion there? That's next.
You've probably heard about employee stock ownership plans before, but what separates Fifth Third Bank from others when it comes to these plans? A succession plan that benefits owners and employees from full and partial sales, second stage transactions, repurchase obligation financing, and seller note refinancing. ESOPs can offer tax advantages, increased liquidity, employee incentives, and overall diversification of net worth to help your company plan for the future. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I have told you how many times. Do not mess with electricity, Chew.
And I don't. I did. I did. But
there was
an
incident.
There was one.
Plumbing, you're going to get wet. Electricity, you're going to die.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Scoopage, Jay Glazer's term, what does this scoopage mean for Devontae Adams? The reason I bring it up is because if Aaron Rodgers were staying in New York, then it feels like he would try to also have Devontae Adams stay. I'm not sure of all of the legalities and financial implications, but it feels like Rodgers has always liked having his pals, his buddies around, and Devontae is probably number one with a bullet on that list. So ipso facto, I guess I just assumed that if Rodgers was there, Devontae would likely be there. It seems like Devontae maybe was reading the writing on the wall because it seems like he has been putting feelers out, Gabe, about other teams, Green Bay Packers included. What does the Rodgers news mean for Devontae Adams and a reunion with the Green Bay Packers to you?
Well, I just assumed that Devontae was going to be gone out of there because they got to do something with his contract. Like his base salary is $35 million this
year. But do you agree that if Rodgers was staying, if he were running it back another year, Rodgers would do whatever he could to keep Devontae in a Jets uniform?
Maybe. I'm not 100% sold on that. I just also think that the Jets may have just gone, yeah, we're not going to bring back Devontae on that number. Hey, take a pay cut. Devontae says no because he wants to go to a place that's going to have a better chance at making into a Super Bowl, a better chance to be competitive. So I think Devontae is going to be released well before Aaron's even
released. The phone. We have breaking news. Good morning, Chew. Nice to see you. You're back up on the stream. I assume that the buffering was successful on the old computer.
It is. I anticipated about an 8:30 arrival, and it is way ahead of schedule.
Well ahead of time.
But what about Devontae to San Fran? Didn't he grow up out there? Wasn't he a San Fran? They're getting rid of Debo.
Yeah, I mean, he also plays quite differently than Debo does. I mean, that's a possibility. San Francisco, I think a lot of teams are going to be interested in Devontae Adams.
Yeah, that's more of a money thing, though. I mean, everyone would take him, but no, like you said, the Jets have to get rid of him because they're not paying him $38 million.
Correct. So they're just, to me, they're going to release him because maybe somebody tries to, but nobody would even want to trade for him. Because then you absorb that contract with a $35 million base salary. So at this point, I think he just gets released, and he's going to be out there for somebody to try to go get.
Any interest in Debo?
No.
Kind of feels like a Sammy Watkins kind of deal.
Yeah, I mean, Chewy, if I wanted a guy that could, you know, have 600 yards receiving, I'd just, you know, knock the door on the Packers receiver room. Yeah, plenty of those guys. I need somebody who can get up over 1,000 at this point.
Yeah, he might be able to block. Very important for a receiver.
Well, now you're talking my language. Wide receivers that can block. Ooh.
You talk about someone who fell off the
map. That's exactly what I was going to say, Chu. I was like, man, it was not that long ago.
No.
We were singing the praises of Debo. We were talking about how dangerous he was in the run game, in the pass game, how he was this Swiss Army knife for the 49ers, and we were nervous about the Packers' ability to slow him down.
Yeah.
And now we're saying, no, thank you.
He's getting closer to 30, and a lot of those touches can wear you down. There's a reason why he wanted to get paid as much as
life
he did.
Life comes at you fast and even faster in the NFL.
Correct.
I think is what I'm hearing here.
Correct.
So no Debo, but Chu, do you think that this now makes it more likely that Davante Adams ends up with the green and gold?
Yeah, like I said, it's all going to come down to money because Goody's certainly not going to overpay for his services. What he's going to get, I don't know. I mean, his numbers are still number one-ish. He is 32, though. I mean, what's that number going to be? 25? 20?
So I was looking at wide receivers in terms of, you know, okay, somebody of his age, I don't think he's going to get $25 million, too. I just don't.
Numbers, though, are still legit.
Yes, no, the numbers are still really good. But, like, $25 million would make him top 10 in the league. Getting more money than somebody like DJ Moore, Jamar Chase is only making $21 million this year. Chris Godwin made $18 million this past year. AJ Brown at $17 million. Like, so to me, when I start taking a look at like age and all those sorts of things, like Stephon Diggs was getting $16 million.
Yeah, that's crazy.
You know, so I think that's kind of where he is. It's going to be, I think, below $20 million, and it's going to be more in that $15 to $18 million range. Just based on his age. Because people are going to dock him because of the age.
Yeah. I mean, I could see it. I think they'd rather pay Devontae, let's just say, 20 instead of T. Higgins, 30 plus.
Yeah.
I probably would, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I would want Devontae because the familiarity and everything else that goes along with it. I don't think that he necessarily bringing him in is going to stunt anybody else's growth, especially because Christian Watson is out. It makes the most sense of any wide receiver that's potentially out there for the Packers to go get because he's not going to be as expensive. You're not going to have to give up draft capital. He makes the most sense because it's a short-term thing.
I still don't think Goody does it, though.
Which is fair.
Yeah.
Which
I don't
is fair.
Know what he does. Because I'd rather have Devontae over like a Chris Godwin.
Yep.
You?
Yeah, I'm right there with you.
I mean, there's no one really on that free agent receiver list that blows my skirt up.
No, I mean, the best one is Chu by far, and nobody's going to debate that T. Higgins isn't the best wide receiver. But if the Bengals do what's smart and franchise him and then trade him, now you're paying both ways.
Yeah.
The
yep.
double whammy, as you called it last week.
Yeah, they don't like the double whammy.
I will tell you this. After watching the Super Bowl last night, I could see the Chiefs making a run for him. They probably could use a wide receiver like Davante Adams after you watched some. And they have good weapons. Good, right, Joshy? They have good weapons. Good-ish weapons.
Xavier Worthy's a good piece.
Yes.
Rashee Rice is also a nice piece.
It hurt, though, right? Like,
yes, he hasn't played. Patrick Mahomes actually broke his leg when he threw an interception across his body. Bad
yep.
throw. But he also might be suspended. So they are for sure going to look to improve their skill players.
Don't they need a running back over a receiver, though?
Well, Isaiah Pacheco broke his leg, so I'm
yeah.
sure they're probably betting on that. But I wouldn't be surprised if they bring in an addition there. Like, they need skill improvement and skill everywhere. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins fell just wide open.
Just wide
tripped
open.
Over his own 2 feet.
You saw
wide
every route.
Open on the hashes and just
yeah.
whoop.
Yeah, that was tough. And I mean, the Chiefs have been in this problem for a while. Sky Moore was like supposed to be fixing
yes.
everything.
Yep.
He didn't. There's been a lot of guys through there. It's just Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and Travis Kelce have mattered that much.
Mecole Hardman caught the game-winning
yes.
touchdown pass last
yes.
year in the Super Bowl.
Yes, good there's... I mean, Clyde Edwards-Helaire was the reason they won the first one.
Yep. Uh-huh.
And without him, they don't get close. Now he's not in the NFL, as far as I know.
There was a play late in the game where, I'm having to Google it, I'm sorry. The Chiefs' backup tight end, who would that even be?
Noah Gray?
I don't think it was Gray. All I know is I saw the back of the jersey and I go, who the hell is that?
Yeah.
It was like that. Like, the Chiefs' skill position roster is thin. It doesn't go deep. Anyway, my point is, I don't know, but I'm throwing it out there. Would the Chiefs be interested in making a run at Devontae Adams? There will certainly be interest from other teams. What is for you?
Yeah, I could see that.
List is going to be long. There are going to be a lot of teams. And maybe to that end, teams get involved in a bidding war and maybe that ups his number and the Packers get out that way. I don't know.
There's one thing I feel confident about the Packers. They're never going to win the bidding war.
Oh, yeah.
So that's exactly. 100%. So, Josh, thank you very much. He, like, jumped into my brain and was, like, mixing it up in there with my thoughts, because that's exactly what I was going to say. I was going to say, unfortunately, the narrative is that Goody doesn't love a bidding war. He feels like, too rich for my blood, and then we'll go elsewhere. But do you think there was any sort of bidding war? There was any sort of when he got in on the free agents? When he went after Josh Jacobs? When he went after Xavier McKinney? There must have been other teams that wanted those players.
Yeah, I think there most certainly was other people interested. But if we look at both of those contracts now and kind of do the post for results versus what they were paid, they certainly weren't paid top end for the production they gave you. So I think the Packers felt it's what Goody and Ted Thompson have done forever. They feel good up until a point, and if they can keep it under that break point, they are going to be okay paying it. And it will be a lot of money. Xavier McKinney's being paid well.
Yeah.
It's just they thought, hey,
but
we think he's better than that money.
The way the Jacobs contract was structured told me
that was a 1 year deal, right?
Basically, yes. Where the Packers could easily get out of it after this year.
Yeah.
Based on that contract, Chu, it makes me say there weren't a lot of teams bidding for his services. Yes. The fact that he would agree to a contract like that with not a lot of guaranteed money up front.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, again, it's fun to think about, but I do think in my mind, when I have a picture developing, think about the Polaroid that you're shaking and waiting to develop. I see Goody pushing himself back from the table more than I see him, you know, throwing more.
I do think it's important to discern between the fact that there probably would be a bad team that's willing to pay Devontae Adams a ton of money. But Devontae Adams has already made a ton of money, and he has said explicitly, the thing missing from my legacy is a Super Bowl. Obviously, that puts you in a bidding war with the Chiefs,
yeah.
But how much money do they have? But a team like the Titans, done. Browns, done. Those, like, you have to cross off like 40, 50% of the league right off the bat, because I don't think he's going to another Raiders or another Jets. He's not going to play that game.
No, but I could see him going to San Diego, San Fran. Because those are
Buffalo
contenders.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Buffalo. I think there's going to be a lot of suitors.
Well, again, he shouldn't go to any other team in the AFC because, as we established about 30 minutes ago on this program, the only team in the AFC that can contend is the Chiefs, right? That's what Vegas is telling us. They're the favorite to win the Super Bowl again next year already after getting their brakes beat off yesterday by the Eagles. So don't even think about going to an AFC team because it doesn't matter. You can't get them over the hump. That's sarcasm in case you weren't picking up on it. We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Still a lot of stuff to get to. We'll continue reacting to yesterday's Super Bowl, what it means for the Green Bay Packers, how close you feel they are after watching the Eagles win the Lombardi, and, of course, Devontae Adams, etc. We'll roll on right after this.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Yes, that would have been much worse ended up happening.
Finally got the which would be worse and what would be better. Finally we figured it out.
You can't just be showing your junk on national TV.
It would have got a lot of clicks.
On 94.5 ESPN.
You know what that music means. Superb Owl Squares. We have a winner. We played all last week, twice a day, with the trivia from Hembo over at ESPN Radio of Get Up fame. Joe in Keewaskum is our big winner for Superb Owl Squares 2025. And we threw together a nice little prize package for Joe. So we will work with Ashton Rotman, former producer of Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, now Big Boss. You still call him Big Boss, Chew?
Ashy Bashy?
Yeah.
Did he get rid of the truck? Is there no more Rots Hots?
That is correct.
Gabe?
That is correct.
Really?
Yeah.
What a random thing to bring up.
What made you think of that? Yes, Rots Hots is no more. As of right now, they have hit pause. They got rid of the truck. You know, a lot of things going on. You know, Ashy, our guy's getting ready to get married, and they got that coming up this summer. So, you know,
he's got a lot of things in the hopper.
Didn't have an opportunity probably to continue it this summer. And I'm sure at some point, maybe they come back. But right now it's on pause from my understanding.
Okay. Good to know.
Good.
Great contribution.
I don't even know what to do with that. I suppose we could take a break. We could. I mean, Joshy, what do I do here? Please guide me. Sherpa me through this.
More Jen, Gabe, and Chewy coming up next.
Nice.
Perfect.